This is BirdieCast. A podcast about making light of life on tour. We're your hosts, professional golfers Maya Schechter and Leslie Klutz.
Welcome back to BirdieCast. This is Maya.
And this is Leslie. This week we are talking about injuries. This is actually kind of a special episode because usually we just do it in one cut. But this week we talked with three different players about their injuries. First off is Laura Wern, and she's going to talk about her lower back.
I had back surgery in 2015, and I had a ruptured disc that was pinching my nerve. Before the surgery, I had a lot of leg pain, which is very common in older people, so it doesn't happen too much with younger patients. But I'm not really sure how I got injured. I think it was a combination of bad genes and sports and golf and traveling.
Next up, we also talked to Elizabeth Sokol, and she has some bad knees. Here she is.
I have had multiple knee surgeries and a hip surgery. I had my first knee surgery in 2006 when I was 12. Basically blew out my knee running around the backyard playing football with my little brother. And then just kind of knee injuries kind of persisted, just kind of born with bad knees and golf and life. I just had my last surgery in January of this year. So rushed the rehab to get out here quickly just because I wanted to get back to playing.
Last but not least, here is Patty talking about her wrist.
Hi, my name is Patty, or Patricia Sanz, for Spanish audience.
And you did what?
To my hand. So I tore my lunotricatal ligament, which is in the right side of the right wrist, and it's in charge of flexing the pinky and the next to the pinky finger. Okay, so I got injured the 4th of February. And then it was the first tournament of the season, and it took them a month to decide that they were going to operate because they couldn't find anything in any of the MRIs, x-rays. I've done every possible test. And then I played, and the first tournament I played was November 1st.
So listening to these three players, injuries are quite common on tour. Both Maya and I had some lower back problems.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I had last year in Beaumont, California. It was when mine kind of really started, and it hurt really bad, but I still played and kind of just took three-quarter swings and did a lot of like core activation and trying to stabilize, and I actually hit the ball really pure, but it was like short swings and controlled swings. How about you? You had some trouble at LETQ school, right?
Yeah, that was in December actually, past year December, and I woke up at like 2 a.m. right before the first round with this pain in my left glute. Like there was just like a knife sitting there, and it was super uncomfortable, and I couldn't fall back asleep. I couldn't find a position to fall back asleep, and I end up eating standing for breakfast because I couldn't sit. Like it just got so agitated. It was really strange. And then it was really difficult. I wasn't really sure if I was gonna be able to play the full 18, but I did, and I shot even, and I was like in the top 10 after the first round. So I was doing
nice.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, I'm just gonna keep playing if I can. But in the back nine of that first round, my left calf, but more on the side of my calf, it was like when your foot is asleep, but I could move everything, but just that tingling feeling, and it was really strange. I was like, am I gonna lose my leg here? Like, it's really weird.
Oh my God.
So that kind of freaked me out. But yeah. Then I talked to Chris, our trainer, over FaceTime, I think. So I was in Morocco and he was in North Carolina. So he FaceTimed, and so he made me feel a lot more comfortable with it. And
yeah.
Not
did he
less
give you
worried.
Like exercises to do right there on the spot, or stretches?
Yeah. Stretches and a lot of rest, and like how to rest. Like I had to lay on my stomach a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, injury is prevalent on tour, and then there's also, I mean, the difficulty of just playing with injury, which Elizabeth talked about a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, I think even mentally and emotionally, it's very, very tough. Just knowing that you're not at your best is a really tough way to play, and just maybe not being able to practice as much as you potentially want because you're not feeling your best. So that was definitely something I had to deal with last year, knowing I wasn't 100% and I could be better. So it's kind of a hard thing to kind of wrap my head around, and obviously maybe not swinging through it on a couple swings and you don't produce the best shot is also tough. But I think just mentally and emotionally, it's just a hard thing to deal with while playing. This is our career, and just dealing with that on a daily basis is tough.
Yeah, playing with injuries is definitely really difficult and takes a lot of mental toughness. And I think also half of the difficulty of playing with injuries is the time that you have to take off, which Laura talked about here.
I couldn't sit, so I would just walk around or lay down and watch a lot of Netflix. I think I've seen most shows on Netflix now. But taking, you know, close to 8 or 9 months off made me appreciate it. And, you know, I knew that playing golf was what I wanted to do, whereas before I really enjoyed it, but I didn't know how lucky I was to get to play it. And so when I started playing again in 2016, I was so happy to be out playing, and, you know, it was fun again. And so I'm just so thankful that I'm able to do it.
I think a new appreciation is a really great way to approach it. And but some other players had a different schedule in their off time. Here's Patty.
You just deal with it, you know. Like, I had to go to physical therapy every day for like 5 months. So you pretty much focus on that. And I started reading a lot. Harry Potter got me through my 6 months of...
Really? Harry Potter?
Yeah. Oh, I read it again. I was like, okay, what can I read that is very long and it will take me a while? I'm a slow reader. Oh. So
in English or in Spanish?
In English. Yeah. So I mean, it was tough, you know, yeah. Because you finish your day at 10 a.m. You're like, okay, I'm done with the gym. And then what do I do? And then I had my physio, and then that was it. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an experience. Kind of like a wake-up call for me. Like, I thought golf was everything, and one day they can take it away from you, and at the end, it's not everything.
Yeah. So do you feel like that affected how you came back to the sport?
Well, I thought it was going to be affected, but I'm still stupid. I don't think I've learned anything, you know? Like in your mind, you think, oh, I've learned so much. Like, I'm never going to take this for granted. I'm going to be a different person on the course. And then you go out there and you're like, ugh, I haven't learned anything. How can you still make the same mistakes?
Yeah, I definitely get what Patty and Laura are saying about being grateful to play the sport. When I had to take time off, I was definitely missing being able to practice out there and get ready for tournaments and be able to compete.
A lot of players approach coming back differently, but Laura Wern definitely did it the right way and came back and won.
I think winning in 2016 gave me a lot of confidence because I didn't know how I would come back, or... I mean, I didn't have a good year my first year. I didn't really know that many people. I didn't feel like I was good enough to be out here. And so when I got that win, I felt like, oh, I belong out here. I can play well. And so it just kind of helped me improve for the rest of the year and the next couple years. And just knowing you can win is a big, big thing out here because there's a lot of good players.
I think it's really hard, too, when you're injured, to keep that perspective that your game isn't just going to leave, and that it is kind of like riding a bike, like Patty talks about. It doesn't just go away. It's there when you come back to the sport.
For us, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. Like, at the beginning, it was funny because the first week I could start swinging, my physio was like, okay, just hit 10, 20 balls max.
Yeah.
And I started. I felt so great. I hit like 40, 50 in the afternoon. I was crying with pain. Like, because your hand gets so sore that you think you can go because it's warm. And then when it gets cold, it's like really, really painful.
Coming back to golf can be difficult, especially when you have a fear of re-injuring yourself. Sometimes I do have that when I feel my left side, so like my entire left side of my leg, is getting really sore. Then I'm more fragile for re-injuring myself, I feel like. And this is how Patty feels about it.
Sometimes, like in French, like I hit it on the big bushes on the right on number 10. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I probably wouldn't have hit it anyways, but the thought of it grabbing and maybe hurting my hand, it was the smartest choice. Thank God I thought of that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, I have full on, I'm 100% back, I think.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Like, at the beginning, you're kind of afraid. It's not going to feel the same when you start practicing back. And right after they put me the cast, the nurse was like, oh, you'll be back in no time. Like, by May, you'll be back. Mm-hmm. But then my physio is like, have you thought how much force you put into when you hit a ball, since it's like a movement? Like, by the time you hit the ball, it's like moving 300 pounds, more or less. So you need a lot of strength in your hand if you don't want to break it again. So, yeah. You have that little fear that it's not going to be the same, but once you start working, you know, athletes, we're crazy. We'll just go as hard as we can. So I tried my best, and for now it's working.
I think another big part of coming back and playing competitive golf is the mental side of things, and Elizabeth had some really good things to say about that.
I think that just makes you mentally stronger, even for golf. Just, I mean, knowing that you can't play and doing the rehab, and that's tough and that's painful, and you may not see immediate progress. I may be doing 5 pounds on a leg press the whole week, and that's tough, and that's, I mean, that's embarrassing if other people look over and that's all you can do. That's not including body weight. But, you know, the next week you may go to 10, and then, you know, a month from now you may be doing body weight squats, and that's pretty huge progress. And I think that relates to golf and knowing if you're having a swing issue, you may not see that immediate progress that day, but you know it can happen in a month. You may be playing great that next month. So I think it really goes hand in hand and kind of relates well, and you get kind of mentally tough just from having to go through that.
Elizabeth had some really good insight on mental toughness and how to deal with injury, and I think Patty has some really good advice too on how to deal with injury and how to deal with doctors.
Don't listen to the doctors. Like, doctors really? Are always, they act on based on average, and we are not average people.
Yeah, when I had my lower back stuff, after the MRI, the doctor said, just do your best. And I asked about, like, oh, should I go see a physio or something? I don't know, do exercises? Because what does rest mean? Like, oh, just lay on your back a lot.
Yeah, but then
so I did that for 3 days, and then I was like, this is insane. I'm going to go find a physio.
Yeah, I mean, we're pushed beyond our limits. Like, when I came back after, let's say, so they took off my cast. Before I had surgery, they have a machine where you press really hard and they see how strong are you in your hand,
like a pressure.
Yeah. And when I came back after maybe it was like 2-3 weeks of physio, he was like amazed, like, this is the first time I've ever seen anyone recover so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's just because we push ourselves way harder. Yeah. Like, you know, when you come out of the torture table that my physio had, I would be like in pain, you know, like when you come out and you're like so exhausted from pain that it felt like I had been working out the whole day. Well, that's probably a regular person would have stopped way before.
Yeah,
I did, or someone else. Like, with your back, they probably laid in bed for like 3 months instead of moving it, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Obviously listen to doctors, but you know, like
but you know, maybe not.
Yeah, not for rehab stuff. Yeah. Sometimes,
yeah,
for muscular and obviously, if you have a bowel problem, well, then listen to them, but yes, not from outside stuff.
Right.
Yeah, because I also think we have more of an awareness of our body and, like, muscles compared to people who not play sports every day.
Yeah. Maybe. And they have a way lower pain tolerance than we do, you know? Like, we go to the physio and you want to cry, but you don't, and stuff like that.
You
or
cry?
You do.
Or you punch him, you know? Like,
whatever works. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. So that was a tough process. I feel like the transition from not doing anything to even doing a little bit is more difficult, because you want to push it. Whereas when they say, like, you can't do anything, it's like, okay.
Yeah. And especially for me, that I can see my sister practicing, and then she will leave for a tournament, then I stay home. And I mean, it was pretty tough.
Caddy or anything?
Well, in Spain, we have what's called medical unemployment. Mm-hmm. So I'm paid by the state because I cannot work, which is not very much. I couldn't have survived on it.
Yeah.
But you cannot leave the country.
Oh.
So I supposedly couldn't leave the country.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. I may have left once.
You don't have to tell us.
But, you know, like, you're not allowed to leave. So I could have cut it, but I couldn't leave, really. And I had to go to the physio and stuff.
Right.
Right.
So
for your rehab.
Yeah, for rehab, it's the most important. Like, the first week after they took off my cast, my sister was playing in Morocco, and I had my tickets and everything, and I was like, oh, maybe I could go, just watch.
Yeah.
And my physio said that first week is the most important of all. Like, you will lose movement if you don't start right away with your rehab and stuff.
I think rehab is super important, especially when we're on tour, playing all the time.
And Maya and I, we both go to the physio quite a bit, and we're big fans of dry needling.
Yeah, yeah, I think rehab and, like, for me, it's more like prehab and trying to prevent injury and, like, you've talked about a lot of, like, core activation, and for me, a lot of glute activation, doing a lot of soft tissue work, so I, like, roll on a lacrosse ball a lot. And then, like you mentioned, dry needling, which, for people that don't know, it's literally sticking a needle in your muscles and they, like, spaz out, and it sounds really painful, and it is, but it feels really good afterwards. And so Leslie and I do that a lot.
They use acupuncture needles, but then it's a different technique. It's, like, way more specific for releasing the muscle rather than, you know, working on your different energies.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, familiar with acupuncture, but
yeah,
it's literally like stabbing in your soft tissue.
Yeah. Sounds really painful. And I think for me, like, I try and do as much as I can on my own, like rolling and stretching and activation, and then using, we have a PT, a physical,
physical therapist on
tour with us, Alex, who's awesome. But obviously there's 144 players, and not that everybody's injured, but it can be a lot of people that need him. So I try and do most of my work on my own, and Leslie and I work with the same trainer back in North Carolina, who's really great at giving us stuff to do and helping us find kind of a good routine for keeping us soft.
Yeah, and educating us on, you know, which muscles do what and how you can release them on your own using a lacrosse ball or even a softball or a golf ball.
Yeah. Because I think that's one of the big things is, for me, like, just knowing what to do. And it's amazing when I have lower back pain, sometimes it's like it'll be pain in one area, but the muscle that's tight that's causing it is, like, usually for me in my glutes. So it's, they say, like, your lower back is like the highway of pain. Usually it's either your hips or your upper back that's tight, and your lower back just compensates. So I think, I mean, learning that and learning how to compensate or how to, like, deal with that, I think, is huge, because now I don't freak out as much when my back is a little bit sore, because it's not actually, like, my back as much as the muscles around it are getting a little tight. So it's just, like, for ease of mind, for me at least, I don't know about you, it's,
yeah,
like,
I have the same thing.
If it hurts, like, I know what I can do, and sometimes it's not, like, immediate relief, but if I keep working on it, like, it'll get better. So
yeah,
it seems manageable to me.
Yeah, if you, like, roll it before you go to bed, and then the next morning you feel a lot better, and I was like, oh yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
for me sometimes my lats get really sore, and that just pulls down to my lower back, which I never really thought about.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
but
that
that's
makes
really
sense.
Helpful too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think I'm glad, I mean, obviously would rather not be injured, but, like, having something that I understand and know how to manage, I think, is a lot less stressful than, like, you hear about people that just sleep funny and they wake up and their neck hurts, or,
yeah,
like,
can't move it.
They,
right,
like, Patty, like, hitting a shot and your wrist hurts. Like, that would freak me out a lot more than just, like, something that I know what's causing it, I know how to handle it. Like, it's just way more, like, ease of mind rather than those, like, short little injuries that maybe aren't as chronic but can kind of seem more stressful.
Yeah, same with the swing. If you're not hitting it that well, but you know why, then you're not as stressed either. I think Elizabeth talked about changing her swing.
I've changed my swing after my 10th knee surgery.
Oh,
we decided beforehand, we knew I wore away all the cartilage under my patella twice, so usually that's what 80-year-old people go through. I'm only 24. So after that happened, we kind of realized I was hyperextending my left knee to finish my golf swing, and that was, I was just very leg-driven, and that's how I created power in my swing, and we had to change that. So actually I don't have enough awareness to know what is hyperextended versus what is actually straight. So I never actually straighten my knee whatsoever in my golf swing. It's something I notice a lot and I think looks a little bit funny, but I don't think anyone else does. And it has actually helped my swing, and hopefully will help with, like, the longevity of my knee and that cartilage and preserving it.
Yeah, speaking of longevity, I know I didn't really have to do any swing changes. I just have to be aware of certain things, but I know you had a coach change and a swing change after your injury, right?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about switching coaches and then thinking more about my injury and like why it happened. And you know, at 23 you have a disc issue, that's not really normal. Even if you do play golf, I mean, it's more common, but I definitely realized that if I would make a swing change, I think it would really help. And so far, it really has. I mean, I'm still out here playing, having minimal back problems. So yeah, that's really good. And it has really worked out with a different coach. And yeah, I learned a lot from my previous coach. I mean, all my coaches, but talking about next week, we are going to talk about coaches. So we'll cover all about that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to talk about coaches next week. That'll be fun.
And this episode is brought to you by Two Guys With Balls. Go check them out online, twoguyswithballs.com. They sell used golf balls at a very discounted price. Use the discount code BIRDIECAST10.
Yep, they're really cool guys and have really good product. And golf balls can be expensive. So
yes, especially if you lose them.
Especially if you lose them often. Yes, exactly. And don't forget to rate and review us. Just scroll down, hit 5 stars. Please. And
drop us a note.
Yep, drop us a note. We're on Instagram at BIRDIECAST.
We also have a website, birdiecast.com. And if you scroll to the bottom there, you can subscribe to our email list.
Yep, we'll be sending emails every week and just kind of updates, letting you know how we're doing. And we do have some more stickers left if you guys want those. We're selling them for $2 a piece. And yeah, I think that's all we got for this week.
Thanks for listening to BIRDIECAST.